Today, I want to share with you a word of encouragement. In just a moment, I'm going to invite Kyle Holton to come and share with me a dialogue that I think will outline a variety of points that really give us reason to be excited about what God is doing in these difficult times. I don't want to diminish the pain, the struggle, the real challenge that many people are facing right now. But I want to draw our attention. I want us to look forward, to see what God is doing, what God has been doing, and what God is calling us to join in. Today, I want us to notice this verse in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25. It says this, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, but encouraging one another." I want to encourage you this morning with this great message, to hold on to the hope that we have, unswervingly, without fear, without movement, that we are faithful, steadfast, determined, and direct. This morning, I want to encourage you with the idea that we can spur each other on to love and good deeds. There's great opportunity in front of us, and there is great potential within our body. Last but not least, to ask, to invite, to encourage you to join in as we worship together, both right now and in our Zoom classes throughout the week, in your opportunities to have conversation and connect with others in your own way. This morning, I want to share with you six ways. Kyle and I will share with you six ways in which we really believe that God is at work, and these are good times for us to see his hand so clearly. Listen in. We've been talking about this passage in Hebrews, and I really like the three aspects of this idea of we are spurring each other on, we are going towards love and good deeds, we are holding on to the hope that we have, and we are continuing to meet. And as we've been talking about the last couple of days, I really think some of the things we've been sharing would be very valuable for our church. And so I want to take this time for us to share and let this be our lesson as we really dive into what are some great things that are happening right now in our midst that really help us to hold to the hope, to encourage and spur one another on, and even to gather and worship together, even though we are separated. And so I really like what you were saying about what's transpiring and the kind of everyday aspect of faith and life that you've been feeling.
Yeah, you know, one of my real favorite blessings of this season has been that shift from a weekly, like a Sunday, Wednesday kind of rhythm to really an everyday faith. Like we have been able to meet together in one or another in so many different ways. I was looking at our youth ministry calendar the other day, and there's just so many different opportunities, but there's something going every day of the week. And it reminded me of that story in Acts chapter 2, right after Pentecost, right after everybody had been baptized and added to the church. In verse 46 of Acts 2, it says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. And that was just such an encouragement that this is what the first Christians were doing. This is what, from the very beginning of the Christian movement, like people have been meeting together on a daily basis to encourage one another, to praise God, to break bread together. And we have a special opportunity to do that right now in a way that we've never really been able to before. And it's creating momentum. It's creating this opportunity to create practices and rhythms and disciplines for us that are giving me hope, that are giving me an opportunity to thus spur one another on to love and good deeds. It's giving me some hope for the future. And it's building a connection in our family that I think we've never seen before. Even though we've always kind of prided ourselves on being a family church, all of that is being enhanced now. And you know, there are days when we're going to miss. There are going to be days that don't go the way we expect them to. But it's that reminder of knowing that the day after that, we're going to have another opportunity to meet together. And that's been really, really encouraging for me over this season.
I think one of the things that's behind all this that we sometimes miss is the technology shift that's been taking place. If this all happened, you know, what, 15, 20 years ago, even more, we would be missing out on this interaction. I love this, the fact that you and I are sharing this sermon time, a word of encouragement time, even though we're socially distancing in our own home. The technology is fantastic. The way that it works, you go back to that Acts chapter 2 that you were talking about, when they were meeting together in each other's homes, there was great upheaval that was happening. The Romans were conquering and claiming a lot of territory. There was this new political power that's coming into place. The Jewish tradition was oppressing and persecuting the Christians. And so it was driving them out. It was facilitating in a way that people were not really aware of until it all happened. And it happened after the fact that they kind of looked back and noticed that the Romans came in and they gave this conquering peace. I mean, it disrupted things, but it brought a peace to the world. It also brought in their new roads, the way that they would bring their military in, provided for commerce and communication to be enhanced. The universalness of their social structure brought a new common language, which really enhanced the spread of Christianity. And under the persecution, under the trials that were going on, Christianity really flourished. You fast forward to the time when Gutenberg is inventing the printing press and books are being shared, the scriptures are being brought into more of the communities and able to be read by so many more people. You don't have to have that face-to-face contact, that interaction with one another. And it's just a real moment that now our technology is enabling this day-to-day action. And I've really struggled with that. Acts chapter 2, how do we make that happen when our lives were so busy? And I think one of the blessings that we can really encourage one another on in this new schedule is that we now have a new way of looking at our life and working through our life with the technology that's at place.
Yeah, you know, all the ways that we've been able to utilize that technology, these tools and resources have been amazing. I mean, how else could I sit in Emmy's nursery right now and record a sermon with you that gets shared to hundreds of people in just a couple of days? Like, that's a really awesome experience that we've never had before. But one of my favorite parts of this season has been when I get to step away from some of the technology, because 90% of our ministry now is online. It's in front of a screen. It's behind a microphone of some sort. But the times when I can set my phone down, when I can close my computer, when I can turn off the iPad, whatever it is that I'm doing, and just be for a few minutes and slow down and to rest have been some of the most life-giving and encouraging moments over the past few weeks. You know, I've felt this greater sense that everything is slowing down. Like our hearts, our culture, our churches, everything seems to just be less rushed. I don't feel as pressured to keep things on a schedule the way that I used to. My office hours have changed dramatically. I mean, if you're anything like me and you have four boys at home and not just two kids, but like everything about our schedule has been thrown off. Nothing is the same, but we have this extra time that now we get to rest. And I think it's a real benefit and a blessing for our souls. It reminds me of when Moses gave the people the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. And one of the commandments at the very heart of everything was to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. And the season has taught me and reminded me that, yes, Sabbath was a day and is a day that is honored and it is revered and respected and kept holy. But Sabbath is also a lifestyle. Like Sabbath is a way that we get to live in the world, a way that we get to ebb back and forth between work and rest. You know, it's like God, when he created, he spent 6 days working, and on the seventh day, he rested. And when we get to rest, when we get to infuse that into who we are, we get to be like him in working and then enjoying what's been given to us, enjoying what's around us. And that's been really cool.
But that really kind of brings to point, it is our decision. It is our ability to be a part of this process. We are not just victims. We are not just kind of tossed back and forth, but we are choosing to rest. We are choosing to chart our own course. And I really like what Paul writes to the Philippian church. As there is this moment here, he says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, starting verse 8, he says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true,
And you kind of just feel like this whole thing has been culminating. It gets to this point, at least the way I read it, then finally, brothers, whatever is true. And it just starts to slow down. The pace really just starts to change a bit. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And I just want to challenge our congregation, our members, our viewers, that we have a choice in what we do. Mm-hmm. And though our schedules have been flip-flopped, we can really choose to Netflix binge, or we can choose to rely on God, to meditate on his word, to digest scripture into stories, to see his character come alive throughout history. There is great opportunity for us to focus our attention on something that is very godly and purposeful.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and I've been loving all of this extra time, you know, this empty space that we have to fill with new things, things that we've been wanting to do for so long. You know, we've spent so much more time just as a family. We've taken more family walks. I have seen neighbors that I didn't know I had, even though we've lived in this house for almost 2 years now. But it's been this really cool way that we get to spend time with people who we deeply care about, and we get to make them our priority for a moment, because there's so much less that's pulling us in all different directions. It reminds me of how much value God places on our family and how much of a responsibility I have as a dad to pour into my children, to teach them in the ways of God, to help them walk this different life. Because, you know, everybody right now has got a different opinion about things that are going on. They have a different mentality of how they're going to respond to the situation. But we have this incredible opportunity to impress the ways of Jesus on our children so that they thus interpret this whole thing through his eyes and the ways that he is seeing this whole thing. You know, I'm reminded of the passage in Deuteronomy 6 that's known as the Shema, the Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And then he says that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength. He says, these commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. And I never knew that a passage of scripture written thousands of years ago was going to speak directly into quarantine 2020. I mean, how much more have I sat at home or walked along the road or lied down and gotten up than right now? I mean, this is a great opportunity for us to pour into our children, to pour into our families, and to impress the commands of God, the teachings of God on them so that they can respond and be the people who God has called them to be. And it's opened up doors for that. And it's been a really cool season.
It has been. I mean, just this passage of Hebrews says, let's hold on to this hope because he's faithful. Let's encourage one another, spur each other on for love and good deeds, those works that God prepares in advance for us. And let's continue to meet together. And all those things are still true and still capable. You're talking about the blessings of being with family, filling those empty moments. But then there's also this realness of church that is significantly different than what it was 6 weeks ago, but it is even more real. I've got members interacting with one another on a daily basis where it used to be we would wait for Sunday or Wednesday or for some big event to happen at the building. Now we're finding the opportunity through texts, through emails, through phone calls, really relying on the technology of our Zoom meetings. And I know the classes that you're having with the youth and the youth families, just tremendous opportunities for us to be real with one another in the midst of this distance. Mm-hmm. Let us hold on to that hope because he is faithful. Let's encourage and spur one another on for love and good deeds. And let's not give up meeting. Let's encourage one another all the more. Let's gather together, South Fork, and let us be a family in the midst of this trying times. Our God is a great God. We are not discounting the trouble and the heartache, the sickness and the death that is transpiring so much around us. But let us also look towards what God is doing, what God is providing, and the direction that he is leading. Let us look forward to the day that we can gather together again and lift our voices in song. Let us look forward to the day where we can be a family in the same room together, but let us not discount the great things that God is doing. I hope these words of encouragement have spurred you on, help you to lift your eyes towards what is happening and what can happen in our current context. God is great. God is faithful, and we will continue to follow. Thank you and have a great day.